Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I don't really have a funny intro bit this week, just rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. Fuck. And with me, I have...
The phrase, Austin St. John did something bad, is pretty vague in general, but this time... Yikes.
And...
Yeah, but we're going to say this, look, we've had an up and down week.
Yeah.
It's like...
Very.
Yeah, it's like... On the sad part, you have, of course, the unexpected passing of Akira Toriyama. Rest in peace. On the other hand, well, hey, he's like got another Oscar again.
Yeah, Miyazaki and Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There will be more on all of those things later in the week.
Yeah. But I gotta tell you, like, so we finished recording the roundup on Thursday, and I think it was like an hour later. I was just about getting ready to like start winding down for bed. I flip open Twitter and then I read it, and it's just, man, that's not a thing you're ever prepared to hear. Like, what do you even say to something like that? Like, it's one thing for someone, like, who makes a very, like, good set of works to just suddenly pass, but when you're someone like Toriyama, who not only has so many works that are considered popular, but also one that basically, like, irreversibly rewrites pop culture on a global scale for, like, four decades, what do you even say to that?
We're talking about it's kind of like Star Wars. It may not be your favorite, but you grew up with it. You know somebody grew up with it. You know, like decades and decades and decades. Like, Dragon Ball was, I want to say it's also kind of the gateway to get to the other stuff, but yeah, I think that was sort of like the, you know.
Yeah, I think one way I saw someone describe it is that Toriyama, in kind of like an MF Doom sort of way, is your favorite manga author's favorite manga author. He's just one of those guys. And I know this is going to sound like a weird way to open up a music-based podcast, but hear me out for a second. When I tell you that the popularity of Dragon Ball seeps out into everything, I do in fact mean everything. It's not just the fact that it influenced generations of anime, manga, and video games in the subsequent 4+ decades, or, you know, cinema, or Western animation, or, like, fuck, just any sort of athletics from, like, MMA fighters to pro wrestling to ask yourself how many bodybuilders you know that did it because of Goku. Let's not forget about the realm of music, where you can make a drinking game.
Yeah, music.
Take a shot for every time a rapper has name-dropped some kind of DBZ reference in a song of theirs. And I'm not just talking about, like, the nerdcore guys that you might see, like, I don't know, hanging out at, like, a con or something. We're talking about the type of people who get covered by legit publications, like your Stereo Gums, your Pitchforks, etc. Fuck. Scaring the hoes last year. JPEG Mafia goddamn name-dropped Gotenks on a song. And while I understand JPEG Mafia is on a lot of people's shit list right now for very good reasons, that's just something I need to stress. Like,
yeah,
everywhere. Shit, as soon as, like, the news broke, one of the first things I did was throw on that Denzel Curry song, Gogeta. Because that shit goes fucking hard.
Yep, I was just about to say, just listen to Denzel Curry. I don't have to say a song. Just listen to Denzel Curry.
Yeah.
Another example of how to influence music. Thundercat?
Dragon Ball Durag? Yeah.
Yeah. Hell, don't forget about that song he did about going to Tokyo. You know, the whole big punchline of the song about, like, his life being ruined.
Yeah, that too!
When his dentist gave him a fucking Goku wrist slap bracelet. Yeah, I've just been, like, going down the rabbit hole, seeing all the eulogies and such. I even saw the one that Stephen A. Smith the sports commentator posted. And I don't really follow that type of stuff, but I just thought that was such a, like, even for someone who seems like he's not that familiar with it, honestly, a really touching moment. And also kind of funny because, like, for context, when he was doing his YouTube show, he was asked the question of, who do you think would win 1v1 in a fight, Goku or Vegeta? And, you know, he gives his eulogy about, you know, Toriyama's importance and all that. And he says Goku would win. And I don't know what's more humorous about that. The fact that, for the record, he incorrectly pronounces Vegeta's name Vegeta. Or the fact that despite having not that much background knowledge, again, DBZ is so, like, culturally ubiquitous that even he can just correctly intuit that Goku absolutely smokes Vegeta in a fight.
Yeah. Also, since new metal is coming back in vogue, let's, you mentioned all the kids who grew up watching those movies with the licensed soundtracks, hearing the likes of Disturbed and Saliva and Deftones and Drowning Pool and Pantera for the very first time, and even those kids who heard Dream Theater for the very first time through it.
Truly, this globally popular series intersects with everyone's hobby in a myriad of fun and exciting ways. Man, I'm
telling
you.
You're damn right.
When I think Sandland drops on Hulu later this month, that's going to be a surreal watch.
Uh-huh.
Rest in peace to an absolute legend. But I suppose we have to segue out of that memoriam at some point. So here we are at episode 342. Aside from all that, how's everyone else's week been going?
It was an up and down week for me. So I started our roundup over the weekend by mentioning that I was in need of $400. Here's the story for that. I got charged by a pharmacy for their, you know, in-house, you know, medical clinic, a charge of $408 for what they claimed to be a recent visit. I had not been to this place in over 3 months. I have insurance. Somebody screwed up, and it basically cost me $400. Now, I did dispute it. My bank did give me a credit, you know, for that amount while they're doing their investigation, so we'll see what happens. But, yeah, that was not fun, having to look through my bank account and see $400 friggin' dollars missing.
Damn.
Jesus fuck.
Yeah. Not fun. But on the bright side, it turns out I'm getting a little bit more money from my tax return than I thought. I'm not going to disclose any amount because nobody needs to know, but let's just say I'll be able to afford 2 sides of guacamole next time I go out to eat.
Nice.
Ooh. I don't even like guacamole, but I'll pay for it anyway because I got the money for it.
Sometimes you just gotta flex.
Yep.
Just gotta do that.
Alright, cool. Mark, what about you?
Well, my week has also been, actually, it feels like deja vu, because, because last week I said my tire was nailed, but that got fixed. This week it needs this thermometer replaced, or at least install a thermometer in there. And
what needs to be replaced? Whatever it is, it sounds expensive.
Thermostat.
That's an intrusive job. I am sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully you'll get it fixed by tomorrow. Because tomorrow, but yeah, yeah, that happened. It's better than having a dead car battery, which I thought did happen, but it didn't. It just needed the your old trick of how you pour coke into a buried ass or whatever the thing, whatever somebody did on YouTube or some shit. That might be the trick, but yeah. One more thing, I hope next week nothing else happens to this shit, because I'm getting kind of annoyed right now.
Yeah, I don't blame it. It's always something. As for me, not really much of anything. Not the most eventful week in the world. But aside from that, I guess it's time to move on from the intro business to the usual weekly business that, of course, as always, starts with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for some new albums, all that business. So, let's start at the top here. So, back towards the end of January, we talked about two singles from the band Justice from this new album of theirs, Hyperdrama, coming out April 26th. And now we have another one to talk about here. This one is called Incognito. Starts off with a nice, slow, swinging build-up before the tempo gets a lot more high energy in that contemporary synthwave fashion with all the bass and kicks and such. You get, like, those eerie, like, choppy vocal choir samples along a lot of the computerized glitchy chord progressions. Throw in a brief pocket or two of kind of, like, really funky disco guitars and drums, and bam, you got yourself a certified banger. And honestly, between this and the single Generator, this sounds like it's going to be something supremely good. So let's see how it works out.
Yeah, so I've been loving all the singles that have come out of Justice lately. Like, I think this one just always hits this sister because, like, the way it starts out just feels so angelic. It feels like the gates of heaven is opening. Until that first part, it sounds like you're being chased from the cops. Like, at least that's how I feel when I first heard it. Like, yeah, it's definitely, you know, they're very hyper, hard dance type of shit going on. And the way it ends is perfect. Like, you're beginning like that, go in the middle with some hard shit, and then ended with a nice soft touch, but it's kind of good. I've been liking Justice stuff lately, like with new singles coming out. I'm really looking forward to this album.
Nice. So, moving on to the next track here. Looks like we got Machine Drum on the playlist today. So, the last time we talked about them was about 2020 with the album A View of You. Although, in between then and now, there was a collab project with an artist named Stewart that spelled with a silent T at the beginning. That weird name. But now, looks like we got the latest album from Machine Drum on the calendar for May 24th. It's titled 3482, which I think is supposed to be some kind of play on Machine Drum's actual birthday, you know, March 4th, 1982. Get it? It's funny. And we have this new single here called Zoom, which features, and say it with me now, people. Tinashe, where you at? that joke never gets old. So, Mark, you want to tell us what's going on with this song?
Okay, with this song, like, you do get, honestly, you know, honestly, I got what I almost expected from at least I've heard a Machine Drum song, like, it does, like, it, I mean, like, it doesn't have this regular, like, very, like, you know, this very, like, pop, like, they're, like, you know, this very fast stuttering, like, they'll try to be, like, very, like, you know, behind, almost like Timber and Tinashe's voice, which is pretty good on this track. Like, I'll say to me, it is more like, you know, it, 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 like, it is, I want to say more fast on it, but yeah, I kind of like, I'm quite, you know, good with this, and looking at the track list, which is quite different, even though there's some names on this track I heard a while, Jenkins, and I'm kind of eager to check this out. And oh yeah, I found one fact about Tinashe that I didn't know about. She appeared on the third season of on the third book of After the Last Airbender in a episode.
Huh. If I ever rewatching Avatar, I might have to keep an ear out for that.
Yeah, and it's something to rewatch right now.
Last Airbender. What a wonderful animated series that was never pointlessly adapted in live action more than once. Anyway, this song was honestly pretty good. It's got a nice mix of like the more serene aspects with the synth chords and Tinashe's vocals and some of the more skittering percussion and some glitchy distortion at points. So, yeah, I'm in too. Now, going on to the next track here. We got a new single here from The Devil Wears Prada. So, last we heard from them was 2022 with the album Color Decay, which I'm told exists. I don't even remember if I fucking listened to it or not, but anyway, supposedly they're in the start of a new era, as it were, and to coincide with that, we have a new single here called Ritual, and the track opens with these, kind of synthetic production effects backing a very steady driving tempo and generally radio-friendly rock, you know, songwriting that honestly just kind of sounds like Bring Me the Horizon's Leftovers, although, to give it a tiny bit of credit, it's not quite as annoying as some of the worst parts of modern Horizon songs, but that's only because it's so boring that it doesn't really have the enthusiasm to annoy the shit out of me. Although, I went back and listened to one of the singles from Color Decay just to get a feel of the vibe, like Salt, and yeah, this is just still the same stuff. It's just, you know, the Imagine Dragon, or the Bring Me Horizon, whatever we're calling it. You know what I mean.
Remember when this band was sort of cool around the time of Dead Throne, which was 13 years ago?
Jesus Christ.
That was a great album. This is just blasé-ass radio core trite. And the key quote in this from the band is, it's hilarious. With Ritual, we are kicking off a new era of Devil Wears Prada with a bang. Color Decay saw us diving into the emotional struggle so many of our generation are going through, so we wanted to write a song that amped up the energy level.
The fuck you did?
And that's what we call holding for effect. Because this is just very, 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 very,
this shit has about as much energy as a fucking cup of decaf. Swear to God, man. Anyway, let's move on to a couple of songs that at least actually have some goddamn flavor to them. So, have y'all heard of this band called Flesh God Apocalypse? You know them. They fucking dress in, you know, tuxedos and Victorian era fashion designs, corpse paint, melodic death metal with lots of symphonies, all that stuff. I've actually seen them live before. They are a pretty entertaining live act. They haven't had a new album out since 2019 for probably a very good reason, because in the intervening years, specifically around 2021, there was a really severe moment where vocalist and guitarist Francesco Paoli was hospitalized after a pretty bad rock climbing accident. But obviously everything is relatively well now, so good for them. And now the band has a new single out called Pendulum, which is very heavily inspired by that incident. And if you know the band's music up to now, you have a pretty good idea of what you're in for with this song. The vocals, of course, have that range and mix of, like, the deep, loud bellows to unnerving spoken word bits to, of course, the haughty female opera-type vocals in there. The instrumentation, the rhythm here kind of has, like, a back and forth between, like, these more grooving type of sections to runs with more, like, heavy kick runs, tons of blast beats. The guitar is having lots of aggressive tremolos and soloing segments. Of course, all the string and keyboard accompaniments mixed in there into the fold as well. If you've never liked this band's music before, this ain't gonna change your mind, but I've always dug their vibe for as over the top as it is. So I thought this was a solid offering.
You give me a dual guitar and piano solo, and I'll listen to whatever blast beat, noodly, death metal stuff you put in between. This band has always been one of those super style kind of bands out in the you know, subgenre subsections. I'm not super familiar with them, but you know, from what I've heard, I dig it. I enjoy it. But if I could explain the appeal a bit better, this is the band Epica thinks they are. Are much, much better.
Roasted! Absolutely, yep, correct assessment.
Yeah, that's just the best way I can describe it.
Fucking Epica, Jesus Christ. You know, I just realized, remember when Epica released an EP of covers of Attack on Titan music?
That was a thing that happened.
And it sucked! Yeah. Oh my god, it sucked so bad. Thank god they didn't, thank god they never made a sequel. I don't need to hear a shitty symphonic metal cover of The Rumbling. But, anyway, let's move on from all that to something a little bit quicker, at least as far as song length. So, the band Full of Hell, last we heard of them was, funnily enough, not too long ago, towards December 2023, when they dropped a collaboration album with the shoegaze band Nothing. But, as far as their own solo material, they haven't been on their own since 2021's Garden of Burning Apparitions, which was very good. And so now we have the calendar date for the band's newest album. April 26th, we'll see the release of their album Coagulated Bliss. And so we have the lead-off single here, Doors to Mental Agony. So when you hit play on this one, it's got a pretty furious but very, like, steady going kind of stomping tempo, you know, really like four on the floor with straightforward guitar and bass chugs, the drums just kind of playing a pretty straightforward rhythm until you get right up to about 30 seconds, and then they say fuck all that shit and we get very discordant with tremolo guitars and the pummeling blast beats and the rapid fills to remind you that yes, this is still indeed a Full of Hell album. Eventually getting this brief bass bridge that swells into a very aggressively cacophonous loud climax at the end. And in case you can't tell, as a guy who likes obnoxious bullshit like this, this is very much my jam and I am looking forward to April.
Okay. What the fuck is this video? This looks like something I'd see from like a found footage horror film, and it's just as nonsensical as one too. You have all these weird J-cuts, you have fisheye lens, you have very weird aspect ratio shifting, and then you get a guy in the middle of a forest wearing barely any clothes puking blood.
Yeah.
All in less than 100 seconds. What the fuck was this?
It's art! As that one guy in that movie says.
Oh yeah, The Iron Shine. I need to watch it again sometime.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
But now we're going to move away from the grind and the metal and the shortness to something that takes up a good, what, like 8-9 minute chunk of time?
Yeah. Hey, do you want to start this one?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I want to make a little bit of this. So remember when we talked about how Kaiju number 8 has people like the motherfucker there. Well, I've got to mention one. Well, I've got to mention one positive thing of Western Arts Club with anime. Let's talk about Kamoshi Washington, who remember he's from the one project of Lazarus, the one, you know, the one with one from Shikiru, Watanabe.
Yeah,
it's him, Bonobo, and Floating Points, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah. Because, like, yeah, it's still awesome. It's still awesome to hear that. So anyway, it's been a few years since his last album, Heaven and Earth, came in 2018. And he had a few, you know, side projects, like the Dinner Party side project he had with Mike Wonder, Robert Glasper, and Terrence Moore. Like a couple EPs here and there.
Right.
And now he has a new album coming out, Fearless Movement, which is coming out May 3rd. And we got a single for you, which is called Prologue. And here's something that you might not like about this. It's the last track.
Oh, that whole thing again.
But then why is it called Prologue?
I don't know. I don't know, just the fuck with us. I don't know. But I will say, as for the song itself, all right, it's pretty good. It's really jazzy, as it go on, kids are gonna be in, you know, you know, as it go on, you got, you know, stuff like the sax, the way it goes on, like the way also the way the video goes, like basically, it's like a dance video, but not in a way of dance you think, as in, you know, like dance music, like it's like as he explained to himself, dance is movement and expression in a way, the same thing as music, especially your spirit and your body, is what the album's pushing. There's a lot of, like, you know, like dancing doing in there, and it makes me feel like you got the stuff with the horns, the saxophones, stuff, like it's some good old jazz. It's some good, like, you know, very, you know, unique type of jazz we in here, which sounds all good. And it's, you know, 8 minutes of it, but I do expect the hour to be, you know, sort of long. I know I listen to Earth, and that's a good project. Also proof that all albums can be good. It's just that you gotta have something to, you know, have something to be interesting in order to, you know, to gain that length, the order that, you know, the, you know.
Yeah, you can always count on jazz to actually do something interesting with those long run times. And this, of course, does quite a bit all over the runtime, from all the brass horns, especially that really hard, aggressive saxophone towards the back half, a lot of the eccentric keyboard effects, and, of course, a lot of the really great drum and percussion composition going on in here. Good stuff. Now, moving on to the last track here. So, back in 2021, acclaimed film director, producer, and musician John Carpenter put out the album Lost Themes 3, which, like a lot of his solo stuff, is a collaboration with his son Cody Carpenter and godson Daniel Davies. Of course, in the meantime, roughly around then is when we got the last two films of the recent Halloween trilogy, Halloween Kills in 2021 and Halloween Ends in 2022, but not really much since then. But now, it looks like he set a release date for his latest solo offering, Lost Themes 4, due out May 3rd. And this one is worth noting that it's subtitled Noir, indicating a kind of stylistic leaning, both musically and the aesthetic of the music videos, I presume, towards the vibes of film noir, and the video we have for the lead single here, My Name is Death, certainly fits that tone to a T, with a lot of, like, the black and white camera footage and cinematography, the constant, you know, imagery of characters smoking, blurry out of focus imagery, and even, like, the harsh lighting, which often streaks across, like, very hyper-specific parts of the screen or the scene, like, highlighting a character's eyes while leaving everything else dim. And, of course, the music itself, it fits pretty firmly into Carpenter's style that we've heard from his Lost Themes albums at this point. You get a lot of, like, that 4-on-the-floor 808 kick, the droning guitars and atmospheric synth chords, a lot of more sparse bursts of sound, like that one particular sound effect when you see, like, I think it's like the camera lights that are photographing, and you hear like just that loud burst in sync with it. Of course, the synths, as usual, carry the bulk of the mood, with a lot of this eventually swelling towards a very, like, loud back half that features a lot of area sick glam rock guitar soloing. Everything is perfectly in its place. It's very atmospheric and moody. Let's see what else you got for May 3rd.
The music fits the whole film noir video approach pretty well here, and it does help that it goes beyond the usual synth score approach and layers it up in parts. And you bet I noticed those Moog and Oberheim synths being played. How do they know I'm a sucker for all that analog stuff?
They're reading your mind.
Somehow.
But yeah.
Yeah, what they said.
Yeah, very good. So, yeah, that about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some news to talk about, so stay tuned. And we're back. So we have a few news topics to discuss here, and might as well open up with some news about the Academy Awards. While this podcast is very anti-Grammys, we'll of course talk about the Oscars if there's stuff of note to put in the docket. And there surely was, like we said, obviously some interesting stuff like Miyazaki winning Best Animated Film and not even showing up for the acceptance. Absolute shed. Godzilla winning an Academy Award for Best Visual Effects. Pretty surprised that apparently Oppenheimer won Best Picture. Like, you can actually do that?
I'm not.
You can.
I'm not surprised, to be honest.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to go with a safer bet, but...
Hmm. I mean, the other big winner of the night was the movie Poor Things, which is like a 2.5-hour fever dream of sex.
I mean, technically true. Okay, that actually makes me want to see it more. I saw all the commercials, and I'm just like, that was kind of funny, but now I'm just like, ayo. But, I mean, to be fair, Oppenheimer is still kind of like, it's still kind of a feel-bad movie about how much America sucked during World War II, so the fact that they gave that an award at all is kind of interesting.
Just remember, Crash won Best Picture.
Yeah, what's the deal with Crash? I've never actually watched it.
It's not a pleasant movie.
Also, just ludicrous.
Huh? Didn't know that.
As a character who hates rap music.
That would kind of be that would be like putting me in a movie as a character that hates Slipknot or something. But yeah, amidst all the various news things going on with the Academy Awards, looks like the award for best original song. Is that what they actually call the award? Best original song. I was trying to find it in the piece here. So yeah, that award went to Billie Eilish and Finneas O'Connell. Wait, that's actually his last name? He's an O'Connell?
Yeah, so is Billy.
That is very, very Irish. But, yeah, so What Was I Made For, the song that they contributed to the Barbie soundtrack, won the Academy Award for Best Original Song, making them the youngest artist to ever win this award twice, because, as you remember, they did the title theme for the 2022 James Bond movie No Time to Die. So, good on them for being able to take that award at this point.
Yeah, good on them. And, Billy, thank you for completely invalidating my college education. I did not need to go to school to learn all this. If you can do it just by your own self-taught family. Thanks for making me waste my money.
Oh, I was wondering that was about.
Some friends of mine who do also watch made some observations that I now just realized I just thought of. You know who won best score? Ludwig Göransson and Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So, I did make two observations. One, Barbenheimer got the music
Nice.
Both of them contribute to the movie Turning Red, Turning Red. And it's the second time winning an Oscar for their respective title, their nominations. Because Göransson won award for Black Panther back then. So, yeah. So
amazing.
Absolutely wonderful. So,
parting observations, because I actually did watch the whole awards show, because it's actually an all right awards show. Thank you, Abbott Elementary, for scheduling a new episode on Sunday night. You made sure this show actually ended on time for once.
Wow, that almost never happens.
And also, Abbott got that started early.
Started an hour early to prevent it from going on super late, because usually these shows go on until like quarter to midnight. But this time, we ended it right at 10:30, because, Abbott Elementary, the best show on TV. No one's getting in the way of that. Also, as far as the bits went, John Cena was naked, which is, always fun. John Mulaney, who I don't really like all that much, actually had the best bit of the whole show by just doing a very frantic recap of Field of Dreams, which that's basically anyone's experience in insert neurological thing here. Take your pick.
I'd have to put that on the calendar for later. Oh, was there anything else you were gonna say, or
no? That was about it. It ended on time, so I had nothing. I have nothing to complain about. Oh, Emma Stone, you are temporarily redeemed for that bullshit in Aloha.
Oh, yeah, that movie. Appreciate being redeemed.
Now she won leading actress for her role in Poor Things.
Yeah, although people are mad that they wanted the Lily Gladstone from
remember, folks, it's not about what we want. It's about how much the studios are willing to pay for advertisement and awareness, which is why Barbie got fuck all.
They got just the one thing, but the one thing was,
Also, the performance of I'm Just Ken was fun. It had Wolfgang Van Halen and Slash and Pyro.
Nice. Good for Wolfgang. Also, shut the fuck up, David Lee Roth.
That's just something that can be said in any situation. Shut the fuck up, David Lee Roth.
Evergreen advice. But now let's move on to the other two news topics, which have to deal with the world of streaming music economics. Always fun. So, first of these has to deal with Tidal, which is a service that I don't use. I was Spotify for a long time, but then eventually I got sick of their shit and shifted over to Apple Music.
Yeah. We've used it here and there because...
Yeah, here and there.
It's a good platform.
All right, so the latest news coming out of the Tidal service is that they're combining their Hi-Fi Plus and Hi-Fi tiers when April 10th rolls around. That's the deadline for this. So the benefits of Hi-Fi Plus will be available to those on the Hi-Fi plans. The single tier is just going to be called Tidal. And this means a reduction in subscription prices across the board. Hi-Fi Plus as a service cost $19.99 a month. And now this single subscription is just $10.99 a month.
Look at that. a competitive platform cutting their prices to get new subscribers and customers. I thought it was the other way around. Companies have to increase prices to get new customers.
Increase prices, cut their content offerings, lower the quality of the content offerings they got in the pipeline.
And fire everyone.
Fucking hell.
And just can't and just cancel shit and write them off a tax write-off.
Yeah. So this puts Tidal right in line with Apple Music in terms of pricing and what they have to offer, because Apple also has, you know, Dolby Atmos, spatial audio, and also high-res audio, you know, depending on your equipment and what you have available to actually listen to high-res audio, which might require some extra stuff, but, you know, audiophiles have that stuff. They got money to burn.
Right.
This is good. I am always in favor of cutting prices to get, you know, more people to subscribe to your service. That is a good thing, everybody. Pay attention. And this also gives us another opportunity to laugh at Spotify. It's been 3 years since they announced their Spotify Hi-Fi, quote-unquote, offering. And so far, they haven't done anything with it. They're also not paying artists, in some cases, anything. But they're damn sure cutting a lot of checks to Joe Rogan. Clearly, they got their priorities in place here.
God damn.
Yeah, but Tidal cutting your price, that's good. We like that. If I weren't already paying for Apple Music and had all those features, I'd be cool with this. But this is cool. You do a good job, Tidal. I appreciate your commitment to, you know, high-res audio, as most people should. Keep it up, and don't do anything stupid. We're keeping an eye on you now.
You can do nothing, Tidal. Make sure we subscribe after you, hopefully soon, at the cut off because of, you know, budget reasons. Yeah,
so now that they're arguably more directly competitive with Apple Music, let's see. I wonder if we get any sort of response from Apple in the future. Like, if actual meaningful competition is going to happen, it would be a nice thought. But, like I said, let's see what happens when April rolls around. But now for the last topic here, which again has to deal with the economics of streaming music in a political context. But seriously, though, this might actually be a sign of something positive, assuming all goes well. So, as you all know, the royalties that musicians get for streaming music are utter fucking crap, depending on the place. If we're talking Spotify, arguably the most subscribed, or are they the most subscribed? I don't even fucking remember. Either way, their output is like fucking 3/1000ths of a cent per 1,000 streams.
On top of
bullshit, like, you know, hoop jumping that they're trying to insert to make sure low quality music doesn't take up all the stream. Oh no, wait, I actually saw it just here in the article. Yeah, 3/1000ths of a cent to 5/1000ths of a cent per stream from Spotify.
Here's an Italian dollar.
Yeah. But there's been a bill proposed in, you know, Congress that might turn things around. It's referred to as the Living Wage for Musicians Act, proposed by Michigan politician and Representative Rashida Tlaib. God, I hope I'm saying that right. It was proposed in partnership with New York Representative Jamal Bowman, as well as the United Musicians and Allied Workers, and various artists from all across the nation. So, the bill advocates for several different kinds of changes. Perhaps the most prominent is the creation of a new streaming royalty rate that, according to the article we're citing from Consequence of Sound and, you know, other sources, say that the payments for royalties would be raised to a minimum of 1 penny per stream and place a cap on songs after they hit 1 million streams.
Okay, now that doesn't sound like a lot, but keep in mind, for a lot of, you know, big name artists and musicians, I hate using this term, but their streams, like on various platforms, are usually in the tens to hundreds of thousands, if not millions. So that would be a sizable increase over time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think here. So one cent
per stream. If one get like 100 streams, that'd be a dollar.
Pretty much, yeah. If you had something like, say, 100,000 streams on a song, that would be like $1,000.
Okay.
But considering every platform is just like a microscopic fraction of a cent, that is actually a sizable increase as it would accrue over time.
Yeah, like if we're using the max cap here, like they say a cap on songs after they hit 1 million streams, a cent for like every stream in that would add up to like $10,000. That's quite a bit of money. Fuck, for me, that would be like 3 months of rent right there.
$10,000, that'd be enough to pay back my loan and the other shit too.
Yeah, so just to quote a press release from all this, quote, "The royalty would be funded through platform subscription fees and a 10% levy on non-subscription revenue, and is designed to ensure that artists receive a minimum of 1 penny per stream, an amount calculated to provide a working-class artist a living wage from streaming. The royalty would be paid out proportionally from a central fund, with a cap placed on how much an individual track can earn, to ensure a more equitable distribution of payments." To quote from Slave herself, "Streaming has changed the music industry, but it's leaving countless artists struggling to make ends meet. It's only right that the people who create the music we love get their fair share, so they can thrive and not just survive." So, you know, that's pretty interesting. It's going to be a while to get going, if it even does at all, but God, I can hope.
Oh, we could all.
I gotta fucking believe in something at this point, man. Otherwise, what the hell else are we doing with our lives? So, yeah, we'll, you know, keep an eye out on that for any other developments. So, that pretty much concludes the news topics, and that pretty much leaves one last thing we gotta touch on here, and that is the new album releases for the week of March 15th, 2024. Starting at the top, we have a new album from Dragon Force with Warp Speed Warriors. From the metalcore band While She Sleeps, we have their newest album, Self Hell. From the gore grind band Aborted, we have Vault of Horrors. From the hardcore band Gouge Away, we have their new album, Deep Sage. From Scott Stapp, we have a new solo album, Higher Power.
Nope. I refuse.
Wait, any from that?
Yes.
Did it used to
yes.
be from?
Yes. Yes.
Christian Nickelback.
Okay. Oh, no.
As we call them. But in much brighter news, we have the new album from Tierra Whack with Worldwide Whack.
Yay!
From the producer Fortet, we have a new project titled Three.
Cool!
From Justin Timberlake, the new album Everything I Thought It Was.
Damn!
Sure, buddy. Let's see how that works out for you. And last but certainly not least, the newest album from Casey Musgraves with Deeper Well.
Okay.
Now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can you be found on the internet?
Well, as usual, this show, my other show, the Discord, other Discords, kind of all I'm doing right now. I'm just waiting to go to the beach in a month because I'm very tired. So, yeah.
All right. Cool. And, Mark, what about you?
as usual, on the show, follow me at Matt DeMille or whatever you can find me. On my site, my type one, host.com. As I mentioned on the Apple Roundup, I will be I'm doing the written version of what I usually review. What I usually review, just as you know, just written form. For yeah, basically, yeah, basically my notes, just live, something. Yeah,
all that stuff. Look forward to it. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surreresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on places like Apple Podcasts. That'll be linked in the description. Audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website SurrealResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that fun business. And, of course, be sure to jump into our Discord, as that'll be the best place to be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the website. So, yeah, thank you for tuning in this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual shenanigans and musical discussion. And until then, fucking Jimmy Kimmel, man. Or fucking Jimmy Fallon, whoever the fuck was hosting. I don't know. I don't care anymore.